WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The latest target of DOGE firings by the Trump administration, the IRS. Even though the White House says these layoffs, thousands of them, will not impact filing.
The White House will say that the impacts will not be felt in terms of the tax filing season. That's according to sources at the IRS. But this potentially could have an impact if there are any delays for people who are trying to get their tax refunds or people who are looking for assistance right now as they're filing their tax returns.
That's ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers. President Trump meeting with the Republican Governors Association at the White House right now. Republicans pushing through their $340 billion budget framework all overnight. That lays the foundation for Trump administration policies to move forward. New York Yankees have always banned facial hair for players. Today, the team announced that moving forward, they will allow well-groomed beards. Mustaches still allowed. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
4WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. New data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services found gun-related deaths in Wisconsin are on the decline for the first time since before the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the data, gun deaths overall are still at higher levels than before the pandemic, but saw slight drops from 2022 to 23. Gun-related suicides in the state dropped from 532 to 508, and gun-related homicides dropped from 290 to 238. Violence prevention officials say the drop is very encouraging. This Saturday marks the 25th and final Lee Lake Polar Bear Plunge. Civic Media's Austin Brume reports.
WRCO's morning show host Phil Nee sat down with Chrissy Letica to discuss one of the planned events and who the plunge supports.
This year we're having a costume contest, so we're going to do cash prizes for best single, best couple, and best group. We've had anything from bikinis to, you know, Santa Claus jumping over the years. So anything in between, the only requirement is that you wear something.
In the past, funds raised by the plunge have gone to Grace and the American Cancer Society. That will continue this year.
90% of the funds go to Grace. I think our total to them is over $350,000. And then about 10% of the funds go to the American Cancer Society. I think we've donated around $127,000 to them over the years.
Alongside the costume contest, the plunge will also feature a live auction beginning at 11:30 at the Casanova Community Center, which will include a quilt.
We always get that beautiful quilt made by Wendy McCauley, and she's donating another one this year. And that's always an item that people really look for. And that will be auctioned off at 1 o'clock. So if that's an item you're looking for, be there and ready to go by 1.
There will also be raffles, a bake sale, food, and refreshments. The plunge itself is set to begin at 2 p.m. For more information, you can call Chrissy at 608-393-2435.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks with a win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks beating the Clippers at Fiserv Forum, 116-110. Giannis Antetokounmpo back after missing 6 games, leading the team with 23 points in just 24 minutes of playing time. Head coach Doc Rivers, though, pleased with the team's defensive performance in the fourth quarter.
I thought we guarded the ball. I thought our length was a major factor out there. I thought Brooke, Jericho, Giannis, Kuz, all just their length. That was big for us.
College basketball, Marquette on the road against Villanova. Shaka Smart says whenever the Golden Eagles play at home, he's inspired by the banner that honors 2 former coaches.
I look up in the rafters and I just think about those guys, and I think about Al McGuire and Hank Raymond's. Just what they put into this program, how they created success, the fact that they went through adversity just like we do. Their road wasn't always a smooth one.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Sunny and comfortable today with high temperatures reaching the mid-20s and tonight sliding to the single digits. Winds become a bit breezy tonight and throughout tomorrow, but they'll warm us up to highs near the freezing mark. Sunday and into early next week, 40s will be the high temperature. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 10 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Joining the revolution this week, we've got WISDEM's chairman, Ben Wickler. Be sure to tune in.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11:30 news, Pete Schwabe from Nightlight, which you can catch across the network from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. Pete's going to join us after the 11:30 news to talk about awards season, the Oscar-winning movies, and then we're going to talk about Green and Gold, the movie about the Packers fan. There's a plot error in it that I just can't let go of.
Jane goes home every night with a big poster just on the wall. There's red string everywhere.
Dreaming about it now. So I want to see if Pete Schwabe has seen Green and Gold yet, and we can discuss this plot flaw. If not, we'll have him back.
Yeah.
And we did talk about this once before, and a whole bunch of people got it. They're with me on this.
All right, I am not alone.
I am not alone in this. That's coming up after the 11:30 news. Right now, though, he joins us every Friday at this time, the one and only Dan Schaefer, creator of the Recombobulation Area and also Civic Media's political editor. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. Always wonderful to join you to recombobulate after a discombobulating week.
After a discombobulating month.
It's discombobulation everywhere you look. But that's why I'm here, Jane.
To get us back, to get us centered.
That's right.
To get us centered. Well, let's start by talking about April 1st, the election for Wisconsin Supreme Court, Susan Crawford running against Brad Schimmel, and the money is pouring in, baby.
The money's pouring in. We're getting ramped up to general election season. We had the primary on Tuesday, and now we are in it now. It is less than 40 days to go until the general election on April 1st. Another everything on the line election for Wisconsin.
The most important thing ever.
The most important election we'll ever have, yes. But you know, a lot of news this week on the fundraising element of this race. And no surprise that the highest profile fundraiser in this race is the guy who's, kind of running the federal government or
essentially
bulldozing the federal government or
both can be true.
Pulling the federal government apart. Like, I don't know exactly how to characterize what's happening.
Him chainsaw. He seems to really be embracing that.
Yeah, he's bringing the chainsaw to government, Elon Musk. So there was a report earlier this week talking about the a super PAC of his putting, $750,000 nearly into that. He also dropped another $1 million, as Daniel Bice from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported yesterday, into a voter turnout effort for Brad Schimmel. So, you know, there's a lot of money coming in for both sides of this race. It's a disgusting business.
It really is.
It's a revolting way to run a campaign and decide who our leaders are. But this is what we have, and I think, you know, if were George Soros or some of these other folks running the federal government right now, You know, we might be paying more attention to them, but lo and behold, we're going to be paying more attention to Mr. Elon Musk because of this. And so I do wonder if, because he's getting so involved in this race and he has been in the headlines for everything that is happening in this first, you know, month and a day of Trump's second term, if this is going to become almost a referendum on Musk for this race, because I think we're viewing everything about this race through the prism of Trump's scorched earth return to office.
Right.
I think that is the way people are seeing everything in politics right now. And I think there are a lot of people who want strong checks and balances on even people who may have voted for Donald Trump, want to make sure that there are some strong checks and balances on what he and what Elon Musk are doing. And having, you know, what Ben Wickler would refer to as a pro-democracy majority, what many people are referring to as a liberal majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, you know, maintaining that might be important for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible
just a little
having reliable checks and balances, you know, a court that was the closest in the nation to overturning the 2020 election results 4 years ago. You know, seems like a problem if that were to flip back into right-wing control at this particular moment.
And I think it's important because the one thing that my husband and I always do is, because we're old people, we still watch the 5 to 6 p.m. news block on regular broadcast
which
television.
Which is really good. You should be doing that.
You know, I mean, yeah. I like to know what's going on locally and then the national news after that. But the amount of back-to-back ads for both Crawford and Schimmel.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I have not seen Crawford do yet is zero in on Brad Schimmel's excuses for the January 6th attackers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's deeply unpopular.
Deeply unpopular.
Deeply.
I think I saw something yesterday. Well, and
83% of Americans oppose Trump pardoning the violent January 6th rioters. And just a reminder, folks, the reason why they didn't do it on a case-by-case basis for these 1,500 cases was because it was too onerous. It was too much work to go case over those whole 1,500. Who's got time for that?
That's why,
guys,
I didn't finish college. too hard.
So they gave him a blanket pardon. No
yeah.
matter what these guys had done and what they had done in their pasts.
Oh, and I think there, you know, there's been a number of stories about people who were pardoned, like going out and committing crimes.
Almost well. The week after.
Yeah. So there a lot of that. But I do wonder if, you know, because Ben Wickler in the past has talked about wanting to nationalize these races. And I think he did that to a certain degree in 2023 with the race for Janet Protasiewicz. It was the biggest race on the ballot in a swing state in 2023. So it's going to attract a lot of donor attention, a lot of media attention and what have you. And I think I do wonder, I thought about this, you know, given the way that the fall election went with Donald Trump winning Wisconsin, if it would be a smart strategy to have this race nationalized again, because if you're having, you know, Elon Musk tweeting about it or Donald Trump talking about it in a press conference, does that activate that Trump base to go out and vote for Brad Schimmel? But I think what we're seeing in response to this first month of the Trump administration, and particularly with Elon, I think people are much more frustrated with Elon Musk right now than they are with Donald Trump. And I think if this becomes a nationalized race for the Democrats, for, you know, Ben Wickler and what have you, I think it becomes a referendum on Musk and not on Trump. And I think that is a more successful strategy for Democrats in Wisconsin, too.
And that's something I thought about, too, just in that what you said before about, like, if Susan Crawford, I won't call her Joan Crawford, Susan Crawford wins the election, that will be the story, is that Musk's dollars have been rebuffed.
Right.
Even the powerful Elon Musk can't get what they would see is a simple Supreme Court election done. What else can't he do? What else is he doing? And will cause far more attention to him and his activities right now with Doge.
Isn't it also important for folks to remember that, at least from my estimation, the whole idea of getting Schimmel on the court is so they can go back and re-gerrymander Wisconsin?
Well, that's what Ben Wickler said on your show the
right.
other day.
Yeah. It's to go back to the crappy maps we had before,
uh-huh.
where our legislators are so safe in their districts they never have to go out into the scary public like Scott Fitzgerald did, who will probably never do so again because people were not nice to him.
Right. And I think, you know, the part of what I wrote about last week in my piece about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, too, is just kind of like the timeline that we're on here. So like 2023 to me felt like it was kind of the culmination of this years long effort for liberals to win back control of the court. You know, they win, they flip a seat in 2018, in 2020, and then in 2023 to win control of the court. Now we're starting kind of a different run. So Democrats aren't, you know, the outsiders anymore. The liberals aren't the outsiders, not trying to flip the court, playing defense in a sense. And so, but this begins a run of 6 years in a row that we are going to have a Wisconsin Supreme Court race on a spring election ballot.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, I know. And another, so in order to avoid one of these everything on the line elections that we have every, you know, 5 minutes here in Wisconsin, Susan Crawford needs to win this one, because if she wins this one, it will, the court will remain in a liberal majority through at least 2028. So if you're kind of mapping this out for the next few years, because I think that's the way you need to think about
absolutely.
This is kind of like the next few moves. Right. So let's say Crawford wins this year. Well, the judge whose 10-year term will be up next year in spring 2026 election is Rebecca Bradley, who is a right wing conservative on the court.
Yeah.
So if Schimmel wins, we're back to the same dynamic next year where the control of the court is up for grabs again. Same in 2027. Annette Ziegler, the current chief justice, also a conservative, she's up then. But if Crawford wins now, we don't have the same dynamic going forward for some of these elections where things, the majority is going to be in play, ping-ponging back and forth in election cycle after election cycle. So if she wins now against Schimmel, again, the court will likely be in liberal control until at least 2028. Why does that matter, of course? Well, who's going to be president until at least 2028?
Elon Musk,
right. And having reliable checks and balances for the next 4 years is going to be really important. So this election now is really going to reverberate for a number of years in Wisconsin.
We have Cam from Appleton is on the line. Cam, we only got about a minute and a half left. If you can make it quick, please go ahead.
I will go ahead. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm going to deplore you to look at smartelections.us and the Election Truth Alliance. They have official data from each of the states that is showing that an algorithm kicks in at around 500 votes tallied per county, per district, that it starts flipping votes from one candidate to another. And I come from a computer science background. I have looked at the reports through and through, the 90-page reports from officials that say the systems are old and they are incredibly vulnerable.
Easily hackable is what you're saying. Thank you, Cam. I appreciate you checking in on that. I have heard some other things about this and looking into the potential of fraud. I don't know that that's actually going to go anywhere.
No, we have pretty secure elections in the United States of America and in the state of Wisconsin.
We are going to continue our conversation. I have a question about the Supreme Court race. Why do we want to go backwards? I'm not sure about this. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area. We will continue on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Contact D&T Pump and Well for well service and pump replacement. It's springtime and D&T is scheduling spring and summer projects. Mary and Derek, owners of D&T Pump and Well, are insured and do new installs, and they fix existing systems including submersible pumps, booster pumps, and jet pumps. Ask about the constant pressure system that gives you the best pressure and quality water out of your well. Contact D&T Pump and Well at 606-5596. No pressure, no water, no problem. Call D&T Pump and Well at 606-5596, serving Southwest Wisconsin. Check them out at dtpumpwell.com.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other great Link products. Our vac-packed sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
News from the center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. A little reminder, spring is not far away. Brewers spring training schedule kicks off tomorrow, 2 p.m. Greg's all excited.
Yes!
You can listen to the game on several of our Civic Media Brewers affiliates, including WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, and WBZH in Hayward. Brewers tomorrow in action as they take on Cincinnati tomorrow at 2 p.m. Right now, though, the creator of the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, is here. Before the break, we were talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. April 1st, please make a plan to vote. And all of the money, especially money from Elon Musk, pouring into Wisconsin to support Brad Schimmel. I guess my question to you, I think, is one of the same ones I asked Ben Wickler. Because Janet Protasiewicz was elected by such a landslide, and it was a landslide.
For Wisconsin.
For Wisconsin.
I mean, yeah, 11-point margin is insane for Wisconsin.
Why
yeah.
now do we want to flip back? Why would we go back when she was elected by such a wide margin? Now we want to go back to gerrymandered maps?
Well, and it wasn't just her that was elected by a wide margin, too. It was Jill Karofsky elected by a wide margin, Rebecca Dallet by a large margin, too. But, you know, things change quickly in the political cycle, and I think we have to, you know, 2023 is not 2025. We are, you know, in a different moment now. And that's kind of what I was getting at with that, talking about how 2023 was like kind of the end of a certain effort, the kind of the culmination to flip the court, and now it becomes a different dynamic.
Now it's a defending the court. Yeah.
And I do wonder if that, and I think this is in play for the state superintendent race too, where we have a lot of this like anti-establishment, anti-status quo energy that's out there, and you have, you know, liberal aligned candidates or whatever that, not unlike last fall, were in a position where they were kind of like defending the status quo, defending the establishment, that's not really working for people anymore.
Right.
So I don't think it is in a good position in 2025 to be a defender of the establishment. And we can talk about, I think it is more in play for the state superintendent race, that energy, than this state Supreme Court race in a lot of ways, because we saw 15 plus years of a right wing majority on the state Supreme Court. That's, you know, that's only been in liberal control for less than 2 years
right.
now. Right.
Right.
But I think the state superintendent race, I do wonder if that one is going to have, be, you know, have Jill Underley, the incumbent, defending a system that is maybe not working for people anymore.
And I don't disagree that our public schools have problems.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think anybody disagrees with that. My concern is what is going to happen to our public schools, especially in smaller rural communities who do not have a whole bunch of options on where to send their kids.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have the number of private schools or charter schools. And it's those smaller rural communities that are really going to be the ones who end up on the short end of the stick on this.
I think, don't worry. Because if they get their way, they'll build those private schools in those areas. They'll use that money and build the big schools. And like, we're giving this to you, and your kids will go here. But really,
Diane Hendricks School of Excellence,
ABCs for everybody's. Yeah. But the thing that I was thinking about, and I know what you were saying. 2023 is not 2025. I get that, but I feel like the margin of victory for Janet Protasiewicz, which was so decisive, and the calling of the victory was so fast. In an election year like that, and in a place in like Wisconsin, where I saw Trump signs on the same property as a Baldwin sign,
mm-hmm.
I think when it comes to the courts, and I don't want to come off sounding naive about this, but I think when it comes to the courts and what we wanted out of our justices and what we want for the state, it's different than a national level, different than a national campaign, and I have a feeling that people are going to look at if the Crawford campaign and the powers that be can make it seem like Schimmel is just a lot of the old. You didn't want Daniel Kelly. You don't want mm-hmm. Brad Schimmel. And that Crawford will help keep us going forward to make sure that we're a pro-democracy state.
That's right.
Versus a pro-liberal or whatever you want to call it. I love pro-democracy. That's just great. But I just have this feeling that Crawford has a slight bit of edge, even with all the money, because people at the end of the day want the state, as you said, they don't like cheaters. They want a system that works, and they want representatives that represent them.
And I think you also have to remember what kind of electorate there is for some of these spring elections, special elections. It's different than a presidential year.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of what we're seeing in the realignment that we're experiencing right now, where, you know, Trump Republicans are winning more of these high turnout elections. Some of the low turnout elections where you have more reliable voters as things are realigning here, are more liberal, Democratic-aligned voters. Think of just Dane County. Like, Dane County is going to be turning out for this election.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so some of these low-propensity voters that, you know, I wrote about in a recent column, Donald Trump and the Rise of the Pro-Wrestling Republicans, that helped power his victory across the state, might not be showing up in a spring election the same way they might in a presidential year. And I think that is a huge, huge factor that people need to be considering with this.
And also another reason why everyone needs to get out and vote.
Yes. Absolutely.
And something you brought up in the past, and we just talked to about with Scott Fitzgerald's listening session, those wow counties, the bow counties that were Republican red all the way through on issues like abortion access. That is what turns people out, especially those women out there who want the autonomy and want the courts to protect that autonomy and not go back to 1849. So this is going to be a very interesting election, money notwithstanding, just the attitude and the energy for the turnout alone for me is what I'm excited about.
Well, and we're going to have a lot to look forward to with this campaign. So there's going to be forums with these candidates. There's going to be a debate that we'll be covering at Civic Media. I was at an event earlier this week with Brad Schimmel at Marquette University,
yeah.
where, you know, he kind of talked about his biography and all of that. It was more of like a get to know you event than like an interview.
Yeah.
But he did open it up to audience questions. And at the point where he opened it up to audience questions, that's where his answers got like a much more uneven and saying like, oh, I'm not quite sure what you're asking there. And so I wonder how that's going to look when he's at some more of these public forums and debates and things that are in the spotlight.
Maybe they'll just make sure that they're a little more curated and he doesn't have to be in that spot again.
Well, he didn't want to talk to media after, that was for sure.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. For many veterans serving overseas, most notably during the Vietnam War, coming home was referred to as getting back in the world. The world was a place of normalcy, family, everyday acceptable and calm conditions, a place to forget the nightmare of combat. However, the reality of getting back in the world did not meet with these expectations for a great many veterans. The war hitched a ride back home with them in the form of nightmares, post-traumatic stress, ruined relationships, survivor's guilt, and personally destructive behaviors. For these veterans, getting back in the world was the beginning of a new struggle. Veterans of decades past and present day have similar journeys of recovery, learning to live in a way that does not forget the past and those buddies that they may have lost, but of developing a new life of hope and strength. For many veterans, spending time writing poetry, putting stories on paper, painting, playing music, and involving themselves in other creative arts has helped to honor the past, remain in the present, and to give rise to a stronger, more focused, and well-rounded self. The Back in the World exhibit at the High Ground in Neillsville highlights the artwork and poetry of veterans Bruce Canny, Harry Stritter, David Dvorak, Jim Fox, Doug Olson, P.J. Burtz, Lenny Ellis, and Pete Kern. The My War exhibit will also feature personal photographs taken while serving in the Vietnam War. The exhibit was created by June Abrahamson, former curator for the High Ground Museum, and professional photography curator Marissa Roth. The museum in the High Ground Welcome Center will be open from 10 to 4 Friday through Sunday. For more information, email Teresa at museum@thehighground.org or call 715-743-4224. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's one of Pete's picks for the entire family. Check out the film Flo, an animated movie about a cat trying to survive a flood. Our lead feline needs to get over a solitary existence and work with other animals in similar predicaments as they all take shelter on a boat. There are no words or dialogue, but the action is continuous and the animation is almost hypnotic. Flo is a sweet, engaging film with a very nice ending, showing animals coming together to help each other. The legendary Paul Simon is capitalizing on his SNL 50th anniversary show opening number with Sabrina Carpenter. Simon has announced a new tour. It's been 7 years since the 83-year-old has packed up his guitar and hit the road. Simon will start in New Orleans in early April and at this point has 2 dates scheduled for Milwaukee at the Riverside Theater. 83-year-old touring Paul Simon might not go late into the evening, but it's still better than non-touring Paul Simon. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunny and comfortable today with high temperatures reaching the mid-20s and tonight sliding to the single digits. Winds become a bit breezy tonight and throughout tomorrow, but they'll warm us up to highs near the freezing mark. Sunday and into early next week, 40s will be the high temperature. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 10 degrees at our studios.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olsen joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends. Period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker on the proper response to tyranny. Also, was Trump elected to rein in inflation or create a new world order? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We like, for the last half hour of the show, to lighten things up a little bit, a little audio sorbet, as we call it. That's why we're being joined by the host of Nightlight, Pete Schwabba, is here. You can catch Pete Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, where he talks all things entertainment. Good morning, Pete. Thanks for joining us. I know you've watched you've watched almost all the Oscar-nominated films. You should get a prize just for that.
I'm getting there. I live like kind of in a pretty remote area, so they don't really come to this theater. So it's a bit of a chore to get to see them. I've got three to go and about a week to do it. So I think I'll get there like I did last year, but it's going to come right down to the wire.
Now, I know The Brutalist is one that you haven't seen. That is another really long movie starring Adrian Brody. He certainly has an affinity for long, complicated films.
He does. I don't know that that will get here, but I've got a lunch packed just in case. And I may have to go to Milwaukee. I was in Milwaukee last weekend. I should have seen it there, but I got mixed up in other stuff. But that supposedly, based on the people I talked to and the guests I've had on Nightlight, that seems to be the favorite.
Oh, really?
Wow.
It seems like it has all the elements. Again, not having seen it, but I hear that Anora is making some noise too for Best Picture, which surprised me. I liked it, but I was kind of curious.
I thought Conclave was the leader right now with Ralph Fiennes and the whole selecting a new pope with the surprise twist at the end. I was so bored that by that movie, I dumped out way before the end. I did finally look up the spoiler. It's like, I'm still glad I didn't watch the rest of it. It bored me to tears.
Look, I had 16 years of Catholic school. It's kind of interesting how they picked the Pope, but to me, the only thing that made that, the twist at the end made the film. Otherwise, it's just kind of like, okay, I could have watched a documentary or something, but I liked it, but I don't get that. Won the BAFTA for Best Picture. That could win too, but who knows? I just thought it was okay.
Well, and I've seen all this praise for Isabella Rossellini, who plays a scary nun. And I also went to Catholic school, and I'm sorry, but her nun had nothing on Sister Prosper that I had in sixth grade. She could have really taught Isabella how to be a scary nun.
There's a lot of guilt in this StreamYard situation here going on with all the Catholic school. I can't speak for Greg and Dan or Calvin, but I assume that you guys have your share of guilt as well.
12 years of Catholic school. I was an altar boy and I was a youth minister. So
plenty of guilt there.
I grew up Lutheran and went to church every week and more Sunday school than what you guys are dealing with. But yeah, lots of guilt.
Catholicism light.
Yeah, Dan's family was like, Catholicism is great, but we want even longer services.
Let's make it longer. Always good.
A lunch and a pillow.
Yeah, always good. Aside from the Oscar films, what have you been watching? I'm curious because my husband finally turned me on to something, a series that I'll share with you in a minute. But what's got your attention lately on some of the streaming services?
I saw a pretty good movie. I really like the director, Sam Raimi. He's got a phenomenal reputation. He made a film for Netflix called Don't Move, where a woman is trying to evade, or stay away from a serial killer who's drugged her and she's losing her capacities and she has to stay hidden. Kind of a good thriller. Yeah. The girl from Yellowstone was in it. And I can't remember the guy who plays the killer, but pretty good movie and a nice watch on Netflix. It was one of the few films I didn't have to pay $20 for, to watch because it's up for the Oscars or whatever. So that was good. I liked September 5, which was about the Munich tragedy in 1972, about how it's a great broadcast film, newsroom film about how ABC Sports was tasked with covering this horrible tragedy. And ABC News in New York is like, we're taking it. ABC Sports is like, no, we're here on the ground. Really cool inner workings about behind the scenes at a newsroom. And it really looked good too. It looked like the 1970s.
I bet. Yeah. Have you heard of any of these things?
I haven't heard of that one. I'm always slow to movies in general because I'm a parent of young kids. And so getting to a movie theater is such a production to be able to go. On the other hand, I watch a lot of the kind of like the prestige TV type of stuff. So I just watched the new episode of Severance last night, and I was getting into the debut episode for the third season of The White Lotus, which I'm very excited about. I think that season is going to be great.
I'm so embarrassed. I just started watching
season two because I think they're dropping an episode at a time, right, Dan? For season three.
Yeah.
That drives me nuts. So I'm watching season two now, and then I'll be ahead. Heading into season three, but you and I have to talk about The Wire one of these days. That's I would love to have you back on the show. We said we would do that, and I think that could be really fun.
Is Jennifer Coolidge in The White Lotus 3?
She's not.
Then I might watch it.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
What's your problem?
Jennifer Coolidge has been playing Jennifer Coolidge her entire career. It is the same character in every single thing that she's in. All due respect to Jennifer Coolidge for making a career out of it, but she's the daffy, somewhat lost person, and it's the same character every time.
You know, it's funny because I think she's great and she's hilarious. I love her in the Christopher Guest movies. I don't disagree with you though, but she's so good at doing that. Like I had John Grise on the show, who plays Uncle Rico, and then he plays her husband in White Lotus.
Yeah.
And he's so good, but she's great. And she's so good that when they're hanging out together, I find myself saying, please divorce her. Please get as far away from her as you possibly can. Like, she's that good, and she's great at what she does.
First of all, I just like hearing people complain. Like, oh, they drop an episode a week. It just makes me so mad. They've been doing that since the beginning of television, Pete. It's just recent that they drop all the episodes. So we're getting right back into it.
We've gotten spoiled.
But I'm not embarrassed. No, I'm not embarrassed. But I know that my choice of what I've been watching, it's not as highfalutin as all of yours. I just watched the first three episodes of season three of Reacher, which is on Amazon Prime, which is a great shoot 'em up punch show.
I need one of those shows too, to like as an antidote for like the high-minded insanity of Severance and all of that.
Reacher.
I'll go into Reacher. Yep. That sounds pretty good.
And I'm going to put in a plug for CB Strike.
Okay.
This is a British series about a private investigator, and it's on HBO Max. Okay. And it's really good. There's always, obviously, they're private investigators. There's a crime. They have to solve the crime.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of times solving the crime will take over the course of three or four episodes. But it's not, my gore threshold is very, very low. So there's not a lot of on-screen violence. Okay. There's not a lot of gratuitous, bloody stuff.
But that's good. I'm also a wimp. So
I'm glad it's not just me.
Yeah.
I just can't take it. So, but check out CB Strike because it's a good psychological thriller too.
That's highfalutin. There's always one person in the conversation that starts dropping the British shows. And it's like,
Does anyone here watch Perot? They're in their 95th season. My wife is watching a British crime show called Murder in Paradise, and it's 14 seasons in. And I'm like, is the population of that island like four people now? Because everyone gets murdered there.
Yeah, the crimes keep getting easier to solve.
Yeah,
definitely. If you're just joining us, Pete Schwabe is our guest. He's host of Nightlights with Pete Schwabe, 6 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday across the Civic Media Radio Network, just talking about what people are watching. I know you've been watching Landman, and Greg is a fan of that show as well.
I love Landman.
Yeah. I like the way it started. I like Billy Bob Thornton's sing-songy, down-home voice. But, man, I don't know how you feel, Greg, but the wife and the daughter, I have never felt so dirty and gross watching how they put those two women there. It's hard to watch, and she's underage. It's tough for me. I don't know.
You just made me feel icky, and I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's a problem with Taylor Sheridan's writing. You watch Tombstone, the daughter is just well, I find them all irredeemable. I can't watch Yellowstone. Sorry, to say Tombstone, I meant to say Yellowstone. Yeah. And Landman, the daughter and the mother are just obnoxious.
Right.
And the female lawyer is insufferable. But right. with Taylor Sheridan writing, it's always about the old grizzled man who's about to teach you a lesson about life, because none of you kids know what the world's really like. So I'm going to talk for 4 minutes about the importance of oil and gas in this country. And you're going to sit there and listen. Meanwhile, every old man over the age of 60 is like, yeah, you tell him. You tell him, Billy Bob. I agree with you. I don't like your politics.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know what it is. I love Landman. It's just fun. But I don't disagree with you. The female characters, he's not good at writing them, period.
Right.
Greg, they're I think just you just delicious. Have to take on doing that voice for the rest of the show now.
I'm happy to do that, Dan.
I will say this. I turned Yellowstone off after like two seasons. Yeah. I just couldn't stay with it. But I really like the prequels. I liked 1883. And the daughter in Landman plays the daughter in 1883. And she's a really good actor. 1923 is my favorite of that trilogy, and we have Jamie McShane, who's got a really good role on 1923 on the show coming up next week. We'll talk to him about that, but great. I like 1923 a lot. That might be one of my favorites.
That's Helen Mirren and Harrison Ford.
Ooh,
on a TV show. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah,
exactly.
That sounds worth checking out. We got about 2.5 minutes left, Pete. I don't know. Have you had a chance to see Green and Gold yet?
No, I feel really bad about myself, Jane. We had Anders on the show. He's a great guy. But I'm limited. Like, I didn't even know it was at the theater here in town. They just don't advertise well. But it is here. It's held over another week. I'm going to see it Sunday. Great. That is my vow to you.
Excellent. So when you watch Green and Gold, which, again, is the movie about a Packers fan who bets his farm on the outcome of the Super Bowl, I really enjoyed the film. It's sweet. It's loving. It's hopeful. But there is a plot point in there that I contend no self-respecting Wisconsinite would do this. This would never happen. And that's my gripe. I'm not going to tell you what it's about. We did talk about this a couple of weeks ago. I went off on a rant. And a couple of people have guessed because it involves a prop. That's all I'll tell you. There is a prop involved in moving a plot point forward.
Maybe at some point, once this hits the streaming services, this shouldn't be a thing.
It shouldn't be a thing.
I'm telling you right now, it just absolutely ruins the movie. Ruins.
But
it
that
for
was
me.
The one thing that stuck with me when I got home from that movie. And Paul said, "How was it?" And I said, "It was great, except for this one thing. It's driving me crazy." So go to the movie, Pete. Go see Green and Gold on Sunday, and then. We'll reconvene next Friday at the same time, and you can tell me if you understand what I'm complaining about.
She just
about.
Needs someone to talk to about this, because none of us have seen this.
I'm excited to see it. I did hear about the Craig T. Nelson nude scene. I'm not very excited about seeing that, but
it's brief.
I will look for this stuff. Yeah, good.
No, he's not wearing them. He's nude.
With that too.
Boom.
Quickly.
He's wearing Kanye West's wife's wrap.
Yeah. Oh. Who have you got coming up on the show next week? Who can people look forward to?
We've got from Key and Peele, writer, performer, Rich Tallarico. He's the one who wrote.
He's so funny.
He's great. He wrote the sketch about the names, you know,
yeah.
The bathroom. And Jamie McShane.
The Coppertron Duke Marriott.
Exactly. He's a great guest. Yeah. He's a great guy. My buddy Jamie McShane from 1923, which drops this week. He'll be on the show to talk about that. Mike Starr, the actor from Goodfellas and Dumb and Dumber, will be on the show Tuesday. And Mariah Gates from RogerEbert.com, a film critic. We got a really fun show as we lead up to the Oscars next week. It should be a blast.
Pete's got connections in high places. Check out his show, 6 to 8 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Thank you so much, Pete. We'll talk to you next week at the same time.
Thanks, guys.
See you next week. Stay with us. When we return, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Not by the Hair of My Chinny Chin Chin Edition. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Mississippi has one of the country's worst records for protecting voting rights and advancing democracy reforms. So when pro-voter bills emerge from the state House and Senate, like in-person early voting and the ability to cure a mismatched absentee signature, democracy advocates take notice. Mississippi is one of only three states without some form of in-person early voting, along with Alabama and New Hampshire. The Mississippi Free Press reports that February 12th, the Mississippi Senate passed SB 2654, allowing 15 days of early voting, ending the Saturday before the election at noon. The Republican-sponsored bill passed 39-12, but even if the House advances, it may still be vetoed by Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, who accused the bill's sponsor of making the state's elections less secure. The Mississippi House also took some positive steps. HB 1419 prohibits moving or closing a polling place location within 60 days of an election, sometimes used as a voter suppression tactic. HB 163 sets rules for absentee ballots where the signature on file doesn't match the signed outer ballot envelope and would give the voter a chance to cure the problem. And HB 288 would make each county's five election commissioners nonpartisan positions. All three bills now move to the Senate. We have more on these bills and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming your way after the 12 o'clock news, Todd Alba taking over from noon to 2 p.m. He is in Hayward for a special edition of the Todd Alba Show. The American Berkey, of course, is going on as we speak, is going to wrap up this weekend. They're going to get it in right under the wire with the weather changing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They finally had some decent snowfall up there. And starting Sunday, it's going to start getting warm. And then by Monday, it's going to be in the 40s. So I'm glad they're going to be able to get that done.
Yeah, it's that place will look vastly different a week from today.
Absolutely. And then from 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn. She's going to have another edition of Ask Maggie. I listened last time. She just debuted this segment. It's great. You can ask Maggie anything you want.
I want a show like that.
Anything you want. Your questions, whatever topics you have submitted. And then on this week, she's got What's Good, Local, and Overlooked with the wonderful Terry Barr. We call her the genie of just about everything at Civic Media. Terry shares the story of a Wisconsin musician who's no longer streaming any of his music once he comes out with his new album in May. So join Maggie today from 2 to 4 p.m. and be prepared to submit your questions for Ask Maggie. It's a great segment. Don't miss it. It is 11:53, Calvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Today it's by the hair of my chinny chin chin edition. This from the Associated Press. Headline reads, New York Yankees drop ban on beards. 49 years after it was instituted by owner George Steinbrenner. The New York Yankees dropped their ban on beards today, 49 years after it was kicked in by George, trying to improve player recruitment. As the Yankees try to win their first World Series since 2009, current owner Hal Steinbrenner, son of George, announced it before their spring training opened today. Hal says, my dad was in the military. He believed that a team should look in a disciplined manner. Very important to my father, but again, for my father, nothing is more important than winning. And that is what is in the back of my mind. George Steinbrenner announced that facial policy in 1976, mandating no long hair or beards. Mustaches were allowed. Players complied, but some pushed boundaries by going unshaven or letting their hair go past their collars. As recently as Monday, the Yankees had reminders on the chair of every player to arrive clean-shaven the next day for photo day.
I had no idea.
And you're a big baseball fan.
I'm a big baseball fan, but as I said at the beginning of the show, I have a discerning man of taste, and I don't like the Yankees. So I didn't know that was actually a thing because, and if you think about it, 49 years ago, so that was 76. If you look at what baseball players look like in the
mid-70s,
Raleigh Fingers alone would be enough to send him on a plane home. Be like, get out of New York. But like that idea that you would think not having facial hair would. Now I'm going back and thinking about like, yeah, you don't notice it. You don't even think about that. Think about all the Yankees I've seen in my life. I don't think, yeah, none of them had mustaches. Not even mustaches.
And you could have done a mustache.
Oh, you could have.
But yeah, there was a special dispensation for that, but nothing else. Calvin?
Yeah, I guess I knew about this rule, or that the Yankees did this, but I always assumed it was like around since like the inception of the franchise in like 1890 or something. But this ornery owner in 1976 was just like, you know what? I want every player to be clean shaven.
You know, this is also really funny to me is that George Steinbrenner, who was an old man when he died. And I was thinking his kids and his kids, like, you know, they're like, you know, in their 30s and like, we're out of the time. Hal Steinbrenner is 55 years old.
Yeah, he's not a young man anymore.
He's not a young man either. And it's just like this idea is like, I guess we can let him grow beards now.
Steinbrenner said in 1976, I have nothing against long hair per se, but I'm trying to instill certain sense of order and discipline in the ball club because I think discipline is important in an athlete.
Hey, let me just look
now up. They can still be disciplined, but you get to have a beard.
Let me look up all those scientific research projects where they say long hair and facial hair is correlating to discipline.
Yeah. Makes you undisciplined, apparently.
My goodness.
Well, that's all right. They're free now.
They're free.
They're follicle free.
Can't wait for them to not win again.
And that wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As we mentioned, news coming up next, followed by Todd, noon to 2, Maggie 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, and the wonderful Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8 p.m. If you ever miss something and you're on the road and you can't listen live, not a problem. Just go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, the button at the very top of the screen, go to the show you want to listen to and click on that, and there are usually at least 100 past episodes. Mm-hmm. So if you've missed something, you can go back and listen to it once again. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you get the chance to share it, even if it's just a little bit. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you Monday.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, we discuss the idea that women should just make sandwiches for their men and maybe shouldn't even have the right to vote, because that's what's coming from the MAGAs. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Layoffs have started at the IRS, and sources at the agency tell ABC News the timing could impact tax filing season. The White House says it should not interfere.
This is a significant number of people at the IRS who started to get their layoff notices as of last night. 6,000 people at the agency, and that's across the country, not just here in Washington, D.C. It's about 6% of the workforce, but this is something that is part of the broader workforce reductions by the Trump administration. And they're defending this, saying that this is all about trying to target waste, fraud, and abuse.
ABC's Karen Travers. Doctors in Rome brief the public, saying Pope Francis is not out of danger yet as he battles pneumonia, but also stressed he is not in danger of dying from the virus. Existing home sales dipped last month, another sign higher mortgage rates are putting a damper on the market. And another report shows consumer confidence slid with concerns over potential tariffs. This is ABC News.